whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's second and goal. End zone shot for the lead. It's McLaurin. He's got it. Washington is in front.
I want to start off the show because I just read this, Denton, about 10 minutes ago. It came from Greg P., actually, who wrote me and said, Kevin, is there any reason to believe that Mariota, with his experience, might be a better option in the playoffs? Jaden has learned so much from him this year, and it does seem like Jaden's running out of steam. Just wondering if you've thought about this. Thank you, Greg, and no, I have not thought about that. Nor should you. Good morning, everybody. What a wonderful Monday morning it is. It's beautiful out there. Not bad, really. I mean, Denton, I don't know about you, once I got out of my neighborhood, no issues at all. It's not like the roads are completely clear, but, you know, they've been plowed, and so the snow that's on it is packed, and I had no issues getting around this morning and getting into the studio. Did you have any issues?
I mean, it was definitely icy. You know, definitely took it slow. Didn't try and race into work, but I got here with no real issues either. Not a lot of people on the road, which is always nice.
None, in fact. I think when you get that first snowfall of the year, that is the worst. Look, we have these winters around here that are total hit and miss, right? You either get no snow, or you certainly get enough of it that after, you know, a few snowfalls, you get used to it. And then we're not as bad as our reputation would indicate. The reputation being Washington drivers are bad in bad weather. Look, we have a traffic problem in this city. That's congestion based on population and not enough roads, you know, in terms of, you know, to accommodate the growth in our population over, say, the last 20, 25 years. I think DC's traffic consistently top two or three in the country with LA and Atlanta. You throw in some bad weather and it's, I mean, even some rain and it makes it worse. But I've been around here my whole life. I think in the winters where we have, you know, more than a couple of snowfalls, by the time we get to the third or fourth one, we're kind of used to it at that point. I don't know. We'll see. Take it easy out there. Look, if this isn't for you and you can stay at home, stay at home. But if you're one of those that don't mind driving in the snow, it's been a lot worse around here. That is for sure. All right. More to come in this storm. You know, there's apparently going to be about a 2 or 3 hour lull, and then it'll pick back up. And I don't know, we're going to end up with probably, you know, 5, 6, 7, up to 10 inches, depending on where you live. Look, I'm just guessing that the email that I just read from Greg P., I'm hoping he's the only person who actually is thinking about something like that. Because if you actually watch this team, can you imagine thinking about telling the guy that just had debatably the greatest rookie season in the history of the league for a quarterback and a top 3 to 5 season this year for any quarterback, that, hey, we're going to turn this over to the guy that is more experienced than you are, and by the way, has not had much success in the postseason at all. If there are any others out there like Greg, just please stop. How about that finish though yesterday? How about Marcus Mariota yesterday? He was really, really outstanding. And you know, I can't get over this. They won 12 games. They went 12-5. Seriously, they went 12-5. And 12-5 wasn't anywhere near good enough to win the division. But if this first year with a new coaching staff, with a clear cut, high level, elite talent at the most important position on the field without a great supporting cast. The supporting cast is super average. And they won 12 games. Sure, you can point to schedule. You can point to the fact that they didn't beat a playoff team other than Philadelphia. But they played the people they played on their schedule. You can point to all the close games. Look at the last few. Four straight walk-off or four straight wins in the last 30 seconds of the game. Pretty incredible. They've had the ball roll their way. They've had Lady Luck kind of shine her best on them this year. But still, 12 wins. You know, the Parcells, you are what your record says you are. I've never believed that all the way through, because the bottom line is there have been some very good football teams who, you know, end up having a lot of injuries, as an example, and end up, you know, being much less than what they really should be the way they're constructed. But for the most part, it's a true statement. And Washington won 12 games. When are we ever going to win 11 again? We did that last week. How about 12? 12-5. Man, you look at the standings, though, to finish up this season in the NFC. What an impressive season in the NFC. I mean, last night you had the first ever matchup in the regular season between two 14-win teams, and man, did Detroit. That was impressive. Aaron Glenn last night, the defensive coordinator for the Lions, wow. He did what I think teams should do against Minnesota and Sam Darnold. And we've talked a lot about the Vikings this year. He's not great with lots of pressure because he tends to hold it a bit too long. I think I counted 5 easy touchdown passes he missed because he was so rattled with the pressure. But Detroit 15-2, Minnesota 14-3, and Green Bay 11-6 in one division. In one division, 3 teams generated 40 wins. Philly 14-3, Washington 12-5. In the NFC West, you had 2 10-7 teams in the Rams and Seahawks, and the NFC South was the weakest division in the NFC, but man, the Bucs have been surging. And that's next for us, and we will begin talking about that today. Not going to wait until Wednesday or Thursday to preview the upcoming opponent. The next game is one-and-done time. Playoff time. And let's face it, yesterday's game had a lot to it, like a lot of the games have had this year. But it was, as it turns out, it was thrilling, but it was unnecessary because the Bears beat the Packers. That was quite the 30-second stretch if you were watching both, as I was, simultaneously. Denton, I'm assuming you had both going in front of you, Packers, Bears, Washington, Dallas.
I was just watching our game because I was in a studio with only one operating television. So I only had the opportunity to watch one, but I was following it on social media. On the other hand, it felt like that must have been a roller coaster in live action.
It was, I think, roughly about 20 seconds of real-time difference between the game-winning kick at Lambeau for Chicago to beat the Packers, which meant Washington had clinched the 6th seed, and then the snap that followed to Marcus Mariota before throwing the touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin with 2 seconds. It was, I think, at most 20 seconds, depending on your delay, you know, whether you're watching on YouTube or, you know, cable or however. It was somewhere probably between like a 10 and 20 second difference, but it was truly thrilling to watch those things unfold because I was thinking about this last night, and that is just if the Chicago kick, let's just say it happened 3 minutes before Washington got into that position down at the goal line or down at the 5-yard line at the end, and Quinn and the coaching staff found out that Green Bay had lost and Washington had clinched the 6th seed. And then the 3rd and goal from the 5 let's just say, was incomplete. On fourth and goal, you absolutely go for it. You don't go to overtime. You know, that's what people say, coaches will say all the time, we're focused on our game, we're focused on our stuff, but that's where it would have been advantageous for Washington if there had been enough time to know. And I'm giving you a hypothetical, obviously, but you would have gone for the win if you knew you would clinch this. Why risk an overtime period and putting your players out there for potentially an extra quarter, risk from injury, when you now have your playoff fate determined? You can't move out of the sixth seed. Well, maybe it was because we want to win 12 games, not 11. That would have been an interesting scenario. It's one of the reasons the NFL tries very hard in that final on that final Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, to make sure that teams are playing at the exact same time when the results affect each other. Thrilling ending, thrilling afternoon, really excited for Marcus Mariota, who, let's face it, in his two opportunities this year, he has done really well against Carolina and then against Dallas. Let's start with this. I'm going to get to my game take. And there's a lot to that game yesterday. A lot. And a lot of it is about projecting for the upcoming matchup against Tampa Bay. Because there are some concerning aspects to this team right now. I don't know that there are any new concerns necessarily, other than any sort of injuries. And we'll have to see. And we'll probably get an update. I'm assuming Jaden is fine. Mild soreness is what Quinn referred to, which is why he didn't play the second half. By the way, I was all for that. Once Christina Pink, I think her name was, once she reported that Jaden had gone to the tent to get knee, hip, thigh, whatever it was looked at, I was like, this ain't worth it. Make sure that he is fine for next week. Now, I wanted to be the sixth. I didn't want to go to Philly. But, you know, at that point, Chicago was up 14-3 on the Packers, and Malik Willis was in the game because Jordan Love had gotten hurt. And then you had Luvu, but he came back. You had Brandon Coleman. We'll see about his status. Man, it is going to be really important that they get Biadasz back. It's going to be really important that Lattimore's healthy for the upcoming week. But still, lots to get to as it relates to the matchup for next week. It is Sunday Night Football, NBC, 8 o'clock kick in Tampa. The Bucs are 3-point favorites in the game. Makes sense. I think when you and I first started to talk about it, before you looked it up on Friday, Denton, I guessed 4. I think you guessed the number, didn't you? You guessed 3.
I guessed 3. Did you guess 3? I guess 3.5, but the look ahead when we looked at it on Friday was 2.5.
Right. I actually, after the show, I found another look ahead that had 3-2. So whatever, it was 2.5, 3. I guessed that it would be 4. I thought if they played the Rams, it would be 3, 3.5. I thought Tampa might be perceived as a tougher matchup with the way they've been playing. But look, this is a total winnable playoff game, despite some of the concerns that we will get to. But this is a winnable game in Tampa on Sunday night. Weather, by the way, you know, the long range temperatures at kickoff in the 50s and clear skies. That's as of now what we have for next Sunday night. The weather around here might be much worse, but still, I would have rather played at home, even in bad weather, versus on the road. You know, I don't want to take a lot of time to appreciate this regular season, which is now completed, because it ain't over yet now that we're in the postseason and we've got a legitimate playoff game to get excited about. But at some point, we will have time to talk about 12-5, the best regular season since 91, as we, you know, all know and all remember, even if you weren't alive for it. The 5-game win streak to end the season after they had lost 3 in a row. Dan Quinn, by the way, now is a head coach in this league. Atlanta and 1 year in Washington. Has a final 4 games of the regular season record of 20-4. 4-0 here in Washington. He was 16-4 in Atlanta in his final four games of the season. When you get that kind of, you know, trend, you have that kind of data, and it's not, you know, based on 2 years. You know, you start looking at, you know, a comparison to some of the greats like Gibbs. I'm not putting Quinn in Gibbs' category. What I'm referring to is specifically this data point that he has consistently, as a head coach, gotten his teams to win a lot at the end of the regular season. And he's done it here. Now, you can say 5 turnovers and they won, 13 penalties and they won, 64 first-half yards against the Cowboys playing Trey Lance, and they barely won. You can point to all that, but the bottom line is the dude is 20-4 in the final four games of regular season, of regular seasons as a head coach. This season was a massive surprise. I know that some of you know this, and I'm not doing this for the purposes of patting myself on the back. I did predict 10-7 before the year started. And as many of you pointed out last week when they won 11, man, you were way off. Yeah, I was. I was 2 games off. I didn't really think or expect a 10-7 or better season. I just had confidence in the quarterback and in the head coach, maybe more than some of you did. And by the way, it was just more or less like, I haven't picked them to be good in a long time. Why not this year? Let's roll with it and see what happens. But man, was this unexpected. You know, it produced this season so many memorable moments. I mean, you just go through them all. And we'll have, again, more time to do this when the season ends. But they won a game without punting in week 2 against a team that didn't have a kicker. They threw a ridiculous, you know, the connection between Jaden and Terry on Monday Night Football, which I think was really the first stand-up moment, like, holy my God, what a throw. They just rolled up 38 on the road against the Bengals on Monday Night Football. And then the Ravens game, for me, was like, this was impressive. The Ravens are really good. They didn't have their best running back in the moment, Brian Robinson Jr. And Jaden hung in there and had to hang in there and throw from the pocket all day. That was impressive. Clearly, the Hail Mary was that first. If the Cincinnati finish wasn't, it was that first stand up and just scream out loud moment. The Steelers game was a thriller. They were within a quarter of an inch of having a first down and probably going on to win that game. The Dallas game in which Jaden threw an 86-yard touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin with 14 seconds to go, down 6, and then to miss the extra point. The Saints game, the Saints going for 2 to win it at the end. The Eagles game here, my God, are you kidding me? What a thriller, down 13 in the second half to come back. The Atlanta game, hanging on by a thread in regulation, winning the toss and having Jaden completely take the game over. And then yesterday, in trouble pretty much most of the day for some of the reasons we talked about on Friday, that it could be a problematic game. And Marcus Mariota comes in the second half and he is dealing and drives them 91 yards to win the game on a touchdown pass with 2 seconds to go. I mean, the memorable moments the season produced. The season produced one of the best rookie quarterback seasons of all time, if not the best, and the clear-cut, obvious offensive rookie of the year. And he's a quarterback to boot. It resulted, this season did, in an all-time franchise mark for touchdown receptions by the team's number one wide receiver. I understand there's 17 games, and there's one extra game for him to have done it, but we evolved, you know, some of us remember going from 14 to 16, and a lot of the 14-game records were beaten, and we don't really refer to the 16-game records with an asterisk. You know, 14 followed a 12-game season. I wasn't alive for that. You had so much that we will spend time looking back on. And then, you know, what about what's to come after whatever happens in the next week or beyond? You know, you had a 12-win season that ended with a wild card berth with this roster. Imagine with a healthy, you know, slew of picks, with the top three or four cap space situation in the league, with a talent evaluating front office that I think most of us already trust. Imagine what, you know, they're putting together, especially knowing that you got the quarterback, which is number one in terms of sustainability of competing and contending. Maybe, you know, we've got 12-plus win seasons that win divisions and capture home field ahead of us. But the gift of this season is going to be something we spend a lot of time talking about, and how to improve on this season when the playoffs are over. Because the NFL playoffs are the best. I mean, I love March Madness. I think the NHL playoffs are awesome. The NBA playoffs, I know some of you don't like it. I think it's an incredible two-month show. But the NFL playoffs and the nature of one and done in this upcoming weekend, and the weekend that follows in particular, you know, this wild card weekend with six playoff games and the next weekend with four divisional round games, this is about as good as it gets in sports. And the great thing about the one and done nature is it produces the unexpected all the time. The NFL playoffs get crazy every once in a while. You know, every sport that has one and done versus best of, you know, seven or five, has the, you know, capability and usually results in a lot of didn't see that coming, because you're vulnerable to that in a one-and-done environment. And the NFL produces in the postseason unexpected all the time. And realistically, when you think about the NFC right now, I mean, Philly's really good and they're complete. But what is the status of Jalen Hurts? We'll see. Minnesota is a damn good team and a complete team, but you saw their problem last night. It's something Dent and I have talked about kind of on and off all year. Sam Darnold had a great year. I've been a Sam Darnold fan, just thought he needed the right system, but he does hold it too long. He does panic at times with a little bit of pressure, and last night you saw that, but they still have an excellent football team. Detroit was awesome last night, but they are so susceptible right now defensively, even though it didn't happen against them last night. Man, I think Aaron Glenn, I've already said it, put on one of the great coaching coordinator displays of in recent memory last night in one of the most important regular season games we've seen in a long time. The NFC, you know, I don't think of the NFC like I did last year with the 49ers entering into it. I don't think of the NFC like 2 years ago with the Niners and the Eagles. I don't think there's anybody so daunting right now that you can envision something nuts happening in the next few weeks. I can't wait for it, and I can't wait to watch our team with this quarterback. By the way, very interested to see the coaching staff and how it handles Cliff Kingsbury's last NFL playoff game, in which he was the head coach in Arizona, was one of the worst performances by a playoff team ever. The Arizona Cardinals played the LA Rams after the 2021 season wild card weekend. It was the first of the six game wild card weekend Monday night game. They played at SoFi against the Rams. Rams went on to win the Super Bowl, and they got destroyed, and they looked totally ill prepared offensively. However, I think Jaden's much better than Kyler Murray, and Cliff Kingsbury's not the head coach. He's the offensive coordinator. Dan Quinn, as a head coach, the last time he was a head coach in the postseason, 28-3 in the Super Bowl. How did that work out for him? Wait a minute. Did they go to the playoffs the next year? I forget. Were they in the playoffs in 2017? Maybe that wasn't his last playoff game. But anyway, I can't wait to see, you know, how this group that we're still just getting to know, because you don't know as much as you think you know about your team until this time of the year, until they play a game that is win or go home, do or die. It is the most pressure-packed environment there is in this sport, and they're going to play in it Sunday night at Tampa on the road. These are the games where the moments that you get to watch Jaden Daniels in, you get to watch Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. coach in, you learn so much about your team, your coach, your players, your quarterback. Your quarterback and your coach get judged on the game they'll play Sunday night and maybe the game they'll play after that. I do think that some of you have this feeling inside that this is icing on the cake, that this is playing with house money. But I don't. I understand, and I'm not criticizing those that feel that way, but I think they're capable of producing good enough football to win, you know, in the postseason here. This is not, you know, a short field of maybe one or two contenders in the NFC. With that said, they've got to produce better football than they played yesterday. That is for sure. I'm going to get to that in my game take. I think the most crucial thing to watch this week is the injury report. Jaden's got to be 100, and I hopefully he will be. Didn't sound like there was any concern after the game. You've got to get Lattimore back. Luvu came back into the game. That was fine. Eckler looked good. That was good news. You've got to have Tyler Biadasz back on the road Sunday night. This week, the ability to put their best players on the field Sunday night will be crucial. My game take, what I liked, what I didn't like, other observations, and then we will start to look ahead to Sunday. We'll give you guys a chance to weigh in. I know that most of you are home from work, but we'll see how the morning proceeds. Ben Standig will join us at 12. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Kevin's take. The good, the bad, and the ugly from yesterday's Washington Commanders game.
Let's go! Let's go!
Here's Kevin.
One of the best fourth down teams in the NFL this year has Mariota take it off and sprinting into the red zone. Down by three, less than 30 seconds left.
Down by three, 19-16, fourth and one, read option, keeper. Man, did he cut that up. He looked great, too, on that run. And then two plays later, he threw a touchdown pass, 2 seconds to go in the game to Terry McLaurin for the win. My game take, which we'll get to now, things I liked, things I didn't like, and several other observations following Washington's season-ending 23-19 win over the Cowboys. That snapped, by the way, a three-game losing skid against Dallas. They had lost, six out of their last seven, I think, against the Cowboys. I know that that was important. It's funny. I don't feel that emotion as much as I used to when it comes to the Dallas thing. I just want our team to be good. I'd love that thing to become big again to where those emotions are legitimate and genuine again. I just wanted them to get the sixth seed. So between our game and the Green Bay-Chicago game, one of them needed to come in the right way. They both ended up coming in the right way to get us into that spot to avoid Philadelphia. Look, if they had had to go to Philadelphia, and that probably would have been the Sunday night game as well, I'm guessing. I think they wanted Jaden either in the Saturday night or the Sunday night spot. It wasn't going to be the Monday night game. That was always going to be the loser of last night's game at the four seed. Turns out to be the Rams. Rams and Vikings on the Monday night game. They've already played once this year, and the Rams beat them on Thursday night football back in, I don't know when that was, October, mid to late October. Really just wanted them to have a swing at Tampa or L.A., and the reason being, I think they legitimately have a chance to win Sunday night. I do. I don't think this is a terrible matchup at all. More on that coming up. All right, let me get to my game take. What I liked, what I didn't like, and other stuff. So what I liked, you know, after just a brutal first half against Dallas, really both sides of the ball, but on offense, that was not good. More on that coming up. But the second half offense, you know, was really good. Marcus Mariota threw for 161, rushed for 56, accounted for 217 yards in 30 minutes on just four second half possessions, in part because the defense just couldn't get off the field against the Cowboys until it got to the red zone, which was good. But four second-half possessions for Washington offensively, three touchdowns. You know, the drives were 70 yards, 70 yards, and 91 yards. They were 4 for 6 on third down after the break, 1 for 1, the play you just heard, on fourth down. They were 3 for 3 in the red zone. I thought Cliff Kingsbury made some changes at halftime. I thought they went a lot more with quick stuff in the second half. I was screaming for it in the first half, and they got to it a little bit there, but there was too much drop back in the first half against a team that just once again, two games against the Cowboys dominated the line of scrimmage, both sides of the football. But I thought Cliff did a good job getting the ball out of Mariota's hands in the second half quickly for the most part. The second half offensive performance. When you have the ball four times and you score three touchdowns and none of them were set up by short fields, you've got to go long distances on all of those possessions. That is really, really productive, and it was a nice change from what we saw in the first half. Marcus Mariota specifically is on the list of things that I loved from the game yesterday. 12 for 15 for 161 yards, two touchdowns. He had one flat out dropped by John Bates. Five rushes, 56 yards. As I mentioned, in just four possession chances, he generated 217 total yards. There were a couple of ugly moments. That one drive in which they had to punt, Marcus was bumbling and stumbling around to the tune of 25 yards and lost yardage on two sacks. But that was the only, you know, it's kind of like, I think the first play in the Carolina game, didn't he get sacked, I think, on the first play, or it was a read option loss on the first play. But after that, you know, everything settled down. He had one bad possession and three great possessions. Look, that 4th and 1 33-yard run with 33 seconds left in the game, obviously crucial. You get stopped, it's game over. And he looked really good as a runner. Marcus Mariota is older now, but not super old. What he always has been great at is he's always had really good feel as a dual-threat quarterback. You know, that's why this Kingsbury system is perfect for him. And we saw it in the Carolina game when he had to come in, and we saw it in the second half yesterday. He has really good vision. He's got very good decision-making skills as a dual-threat quarterback in the zone read game. And he's got really good speed still. Very good quickness in short spaces. By the way, strength to break a tackle, as he did on the read option keeper touchdown run. He was about to get stopped, but he broke a tackle. And the speed is, you know, maybe not Oregon speed, but Marcus Mariota is an athlete, man. Always has been. The RPO touchdown throw to Ertz was not his best throw, but it's an RPO, which means you got to get rid of it quickly. You got to make that decision quickly. The ball's got to be out quickly so that you don't have ineligibles downfield. And Ertz made a really good catch. The throw was certainly good enough There was a 3rd and 3 to Terry on the drive where he ended up scoring on the read option keeper to give him the 16-12 lead. Love that throw. He had a quick throw to Eckler on a 3rd and 3 that was really nice. You know, he had Bates on a good throw that Bates dropped. Drops were a problem yesterday for certainly in the first half as well. And not all the balls thrown by Jaden, one of them thrown by De'Ami Brown. But I thought Mariota's poise on that final drive, I mean, 11 plays, 91 yards. And then, you know, faced with, you know, we're going to take a shot here with 6 seconds to go from the 5, which they should, but it's got to be a quick throw. You know, it can't be one of those where you're reading and you're progressing, which, by the way, he had a really good progression read throw to Eckler in the game. And I think Eckler had to be the third progression, if not beyond that. But the poise to understand the game situation, there was one nit to pick on that final drive, which I'll get to a little bit in a bit. But, you know, quick fade, got to be out quickly. You got 6 seconds. You can't let the clock run out. The ball was perfectly thrown to Terry. And Terry made a great hands catch. We don't always see that with Terry. That was a great hands catch. This was an outstanding effort from Marcus Mariota. He is an excellent backup quarterback for our team because of the system in particular. He's obviously been a phenomenal mentor to the rookie quarterback all season long. We saw the exchange with the two of them last week in Atlanta with Jaden being mic'd up for the game. Marcus Mariota in relief gets an A. I mean, if not an A+, he was really outstanding, and we've now had 2 experiences with him this year in meaningful football, and he has really performed well. I thought he was outstanding in relief, and look, I know a lot of you were not in favor of Mariota. I thought it made a lot of sense because of the system. Bobby Johnson obviously had him in Philadelphia. That was a big part of why Marcus ended up coming here. By the way, let me just recommend something for those of you who haven't read it. Sam Fortier wrote a really good piece on Mariota last weekend, I believe, and it talks a lot about the anxiety issues that Mariota had in Atlanta after he got benched. Remember, Denton, when we were watching the quarterback Netflix series and Mariota went AWOL after he got benched for Desmond Ridder in Atlanta, and then all of a sudden on the final 2 or 3 episodes of that quarterback thing with Mahomes, Kirk, and Mariota, he just disappeared from it. He actually did go AWOL. But there were some interesting reasons for it. And his career was almost over after that, and almost over in Philadelphia. It's an interesting story. He's very, very well liked by everybody. Marcus Mariota, A, if not an A+, yesterday in relief. Terry McLaurin on the list of things that I liked. Obviously, the second half. I mean, it was starting to get a little bit dicey there. You know, we had gone 6 quarters, 4 last week and 2 yesterday, where he had 2 total catches for 10 yards. You know, so the connection between he and Jaden was off again in that first half. Terry could have pulled in a one pass that he flat out dropped, and Jaden, you know, led him a little bit too much. Just didn't. The same issue they had last week against the Falcons, they seem to be having in the first half. And then Mariota comes in, and Terry ends up with 7 catches for 57 yards in the second half, including the game winner, including the 3rd and 4 on the final drive, which was a great catch. 8 catches, 62 yards. That's not like a dominant performance, but 7 for 57 coming after halftime was. And, of course, he ended up setting the franchise record for touchdown receptions in a season with his 13th. So his record-setting day, his productive second half, on the list of things that I liked. Terry was outstanding, and I loved to see the hands catch from him on that final touchdown. You know, he's not a natural or not a typical hands catcher. You know, he's an arms and a chest catcher more than he is a hands catcher. That was a hands catch. And by the way, the only way he makes that catch is to reach out and snag it with both hands. Loved it. On the list of things that I liked, well, you've got to say defensively that it was not a good day. However, red zone defense, 1-for-6 Dallas was in the red zone. That's encouraging. What's discouraging is that the Dallas Cowboys with Trey Lance got to the red zone 6 times in the game. More on that coming up. But they stopped them 5 times. Now, it wasn't all them. The first stop was a ball that Daron Payne tipped, and then it was nearly picked off by Luvu. Luvu should have had it. I think that's like, it's got to be at least 3 picks this year, right, that Luvu's had right in his hands that he hasn't been able to pull in. But that forced the Cowboys into a field goal. After the return fumble by Crowder, which, you know, Luke McCaffrey assisted on, Chin got a really good sack. I love Jeremy Chin as a player. He and Quan Martin, who didn't play yesterday because of illness, they're actually not a bad safety pairing. And Chin really hits. And that was a big-time sack in the red zone. That forced another field goal. Look, they got completely lucky at the end of the first half. I mean, 4th and goal, you know, Trey Lance has a wide-open Rico Dowdle. Wide open. He's not even being pressured. He just pulled the string on it. It was such a choke throw. Wide open for a touchdown. But that counts as a red zone stop. They had the big sack on the first drive of the second half where Fowler Jr., who I thought was pretty good yesterday, got pressure. John Allen ended up getting the sack. There was another field goal stop, red zone stop, when it was on the field goal that made it 12-10. Look, they got off the field there, but I think a lot of that was on Trey Lance. He was so late on a couple of throws to open receivers, including Ferguson on the play that the Cowboys challenged. But that was 5 red zone stops on 6 red zone trips. That's a good result. Not all because of great defense, but it was critical to the outcome of the game because the Cowboys obviously could have and probably should have ended up with more than just 1 touchdown on 6 red zone trips, and that would have been the difference in the game. Let me just point out a couple of other players that I thought were solid in the game. I thought Ertz, once again, was solid. I think Zach Ertz is so important to this team. I thought Austin Eckler, you know, I didn't know this until I just pulled it up because I was looking at snap counts. I knew he was out there a lot, but did you guys realize he was out there for 60% of the offensive snaps in the game? What that tells you is they all understand how vital Austin Eckler is to their playoff chances, and they wanted to make sure that going into next week, they had number 30 at full speed, at full health. Because if they knew that for sure before yesterday, he wouldn't have taken 35 snaps. But the reason he took 35 snaps is because they wanted to see it, because they know how badly they've missed him and how badly they need him. I thought he looked spry. I thought he looked quick. I thought he looked good. There weren't a lot of opportunities to run the football, as there haven't been for some of our backs, but he was better than Brian Robinson Jr. running the football on his 2 or 3 carries. I think he had 3 carries, 12 yards, 4 yards a carry. Had a couple of catches, too. Who else on offense? Ertz, I mentioned. Eckler, I mentioned. Mariota, Terry. Look, I like De'Ami Brown every time the ball's in his hands, and he threw a perfect ball to Zacchaeus for a touchdown. I wish they had saved that play for next week. Defensively, Fowler Jr. stood out to me. Wagner stood out to me. Chin stood out to me. And San Ristil kind of stood out to me. Made some plays. I didn't think San Ristil was great throughout the day. Wagner, by the way, I really love Wagner when they turn him loose as a pass rusher. Same thing I feel about Luvu as well. Fowler Jr. has become very difficult to block. I mean, let's be honest. Ultimately, Luvu and Wagner were critical. Biotish, critical free agent acquisitions. Fowler Jr. was the one, we're not really sure. Him, Armstrong, Cleveland Farrell, you know, one-year deals. Fowler Jr. has been a menace as a pass rusher this year. And that's going to play big in this upcoming game against Tampa. Yeah, so that's basically it on the things I liked. I mean, Tressway had a couple of really good punts. He punted a lot in the first half, man. All right, when we come back, we'll get to the list of things that I had a problem with, and there was a lot. And it's concerning heading into next week. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are on the Odyssey app, and if you download the Odyssey app, you can listen to us whenever you want, wherever you go, and you can leave us a voicemail message if you'd like, and if it's really good, we'll play it. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980.
Commanders get their 12th win of the season yesterday, the most since 1991, with a 23-19 victory over the Dallas Cowboys, thanks to a Marcus Mariota touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin with 2 seconds remaining. It was McLaurin's 13th touchdown reception of the season. He's now the single-season receiving touchdown leader in franchise history. The Commanders will play the Buccaneers on January 12th. On Sunday Night Football in Tampa. It's Black Monday in the NFL. The Jaguars fired Doug Peterson, but are retaining general manager Trent Baalke. The Patriots yesterday fired Gerard Mayo after just one season. Shockingly, the Giants are retaining both Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. In Cincinnati, the Bengals fired, well, basically every defensive coach, including defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo. And that's what's trending.
Right. Here's Mariota, slips the tackle, and he dives! He's in! He got away from the rookie Marshawn Nyland and lunged ahead for the rushing touchdown.
I get to my list of things that I didn't like coming up in about 5 minutes. Big game for Mariota off the bench. Terry McLaurin got his 13th touchdown reception that set a franchise mark. He was tied with Ricky Sanders, Charlie Taylor, Hugh Taylor from 1952, Jerry Smith, all of whom had 12 in a season. We've certainly seen other organizations with much higher touchdown reception marks, but that's what our franchise's record was. For Terry, you know, in this year in which I think we would all agree that this was kind of a breakout year for him. Ultimately, you know, he cleared the 1,000-yard mark last week, but he's short of the yardage he had in 2022 and in 2020. His reception receptions of 82 for the season, 5 short of what he had in 2020, so it was his second best year. Average yards per reception, 13.4. Remember early in the season when it was like 2 point something or 3 point something? So it got back up there, but still ended up being his 4th best in yards per reception. But I don't think there's any doubt that his impact on the team winning was the greatest that it has been. He's also an exceptional, you know, team guy, locker room guy, and blocker. But man, do they need somebody opposite him. There is going to be a lot of discussion between all of us when we get to the offseason about number 2 at wide receiver. T. Higgins, Tariq Hill, maybe. Can you imagine Jaden and Hill on the same field? And they got plenty of dry powder, cap space to go chase some of these guys, and they're much more attractive as a franchise than they've been in a long time. A really good season for Terry. Excellent season, in fact. for Terry, even though he fell short of some of the marks reception-wise and yardage-wise. 13 touchdowns, not even close for him. His best was his rookie year at 7. All right, the things I didn't like from yesterday's game. That list is a little bit longer. We'll get to that next.